Let's pray together. Lord, as we come to stand under your word, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us and meet us where we are, and that your ministry to us would be out of your compassion and love, that we would receive it as such today. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have in our lessons today the temptations of the two Adams. Through the first Adam, who along with his wife Eve failed the test, through them sin and death entered into the world. And through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who passed the test of redemption, salvation came into the world through him. Through the one temptation came death, through the other temptation came life. The first was tempted in the garden and cast out into the wilderness. The second was tempted in the wilderness to make a way for us to return to the garden. Both these temptations have effects for us in our lives, and they're both instructive for us. And through examining them, studying them, we can have a greater understanding of the nature of temptation and therefore how we can overcome it in Christ. So that's what I want to look at today. Our two texts, our Old Testament and Gospel lesson, and temptation broadly, how we can understand what it is so that we can overcome it in Christ. But first, I want to ask a bit more of a philosophical question. One that I actually wrestled with for quite a while, and I'm going to tell you how I found clarity on it, that maybe you can as well. But the question is, why does the Lord allow temptation for us? Why did he put in the midst of this garden, this paradise for Adam and Eve, why did he put this one tree that they could not touch, they could not eat from? Why did he allow the possibility of sin to enter into the world from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And one work of fiction that brought great clarity to me in this was C.S. Lewis's book, Paralandra, which, if you are familiar with, is the second of C.S. Lewis's space trilogy books. If you have not read it, first of all, you should. Second of all, you should know that the main character, whose name is Ransom, goes to a new world called Paralandra. This is a new world where life has sprung forth, that God has brought about life, and it's not fallen. Sin has not yet entered the world, and the main character's job is to prevent that from happening. And so this is a watery world. It's a world of water with floating islands, and there's one fixed land. And the only command of God is don't step on the fixed land. You have everything you need on the islands and through the oceans, everything you could possibly need to flourish. Just don't go on the fixed land. That was the one command. So setting up a Garden of Eden situation. And so the main character goes and finds the Eve of that world, the green lady, and along with him comes also a tempter. The unman, who is basically the devil incarnate, is trying to convince her to disobey God and go onto the fixed land. And so the question that's being posed is, why would God have given this fixed land if not for you to enjoy, if not for you to step on? Maybe he meant for you to go beyond his command and to enjoy this. And what the main character, Ransom, says is that if God's commands were only ever in line with what I wanted, with what my desires were, then there would be no choice to obey him. There would be no choice to love him. And love could not prove its worth if there were no choice. So for God to command that which we do not desire, or to prohibit something that we might desire, gives us the opportunity to choose to love him more than we love our desires. to choose to recognize that God is greater than our hearts, that He is our highest joy, and anything that would compete for our hearts is an idol. So the command creates the possibility of obedience freely chosen, so that obedience and love would be genuine and not automatic. So this is a work that just brought helpful clarity to me, and maybe I didn't explain it super well, but I would commend it to you. But what I want to emphasize through that point, the point I want to make for us today and throughout our lives, is that temptation is an opportunity to choose for God. Temptation is an opportunity for us to choose for God. And this is His heart for us, for love to be freely chosen. He didn't make us to be robots without free will, because He made us for love. And love requires a choice. God has chosen us in Christ and gives us daily opportunities to choose for Him, because He wants us to grow in love. He wants love, our love, to grow in His love. So when we choose to deny our flesh, when we choose to say no to the temptations to sin, we're choosing that obedience to God. And when we're choosing to lay down our will for the sake of God, this is genuine love. Choosing to love the other, even putting aside our own wills, is what genuine love is. And so in these choices, in overcoming temptations, we grow more in love. We grow more in devotion, more in the joy of the Lord that is our strength. So I believe that the Lord allows temptation because He's desiring us to grow in love. Temptation is our opportunity to choose to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength. So, what is temptation? I want to explore this morning. What is temptation, that we can know what it is so that we can know how to overcome it in Christ? And the core of it, I think we go back to Genesis 3. And it's the words that the devil spoke through that snake. Did God really say? The core of every temptation is, did God really say that? You know, the devil is doing this like so many podcasters and conspiracy theorists these days are saying outrageous things and then just saying, I'm just asking questions. Just asking the question, are there really lizard people ruling us? Just asking the question. You know, Satan is just asking the question, is God really trustworthy? Is He truly good? Does He really desire the best for you? He's persuading us away from trusting in God and His character, His love, His motives for us. Underlying the devil's question here is he's trying to convince us that God has lied to us, or that God doesn't want what is best for us. He's actually trying to trick and deceive you. He says, God knows that when you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And He doesn't want that for you. In tempting the Lord Jesus, the devil tries to undermine and cause Him to doubt His identity and His mission. If you really are the Son of God, wouldn't you do this? Wouldn't you satisfy your hunger? Or wouldn't you show yourself a miraculous spectacle? Wouldn't you take authority over all the kingdoms of the earth if you really were the Son of God? Just asking the question. How does the devil tempt you? For us, the devil might make us question God's goodness or His command, or question our own identities. Most often for us in our day and age, temptation comes because we're mixing up our role with God. We're saying, I'm in charge. I'm sovereign. It's my will and desires that are of utmost importance. I would be like God. When temptation comes up as a topic, our minds usually go to the obvious ones. Sex, money, and power, right? Temptations to pornography or lust. Temptations like cheating on taxes, lying to impress others or gain control or manipulate people. But there are so many subtle ways in which the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil squeak their way into our days that we need to learn to be mindful of. Temptations to despair, losing hope. Temptations to gossip, building ourselves up at the expense of others. Temptations to pride, or envy, or gluttony. Sometimes the temptations of the flesh feel so natural to us that we don't even think about them as temptations. And part of our growth in Christ, part of our call to maturity, is feeling the weight of these temptations more and more. Feeling more of what's at stake in these temptations. When you grow in Christ, you're actually going to feel the weight of temptations more and more. Sorry to break it to you. Temptations don't go away. They actually get stronger as you grow in Christ because you are becoming more aware of the stakes. You are becoming more aware of their powers. So what are the temptations that you deal with? Do you feel the weight and the struggle of them? Do you understand the stakes of them? The devil would twist and corrupt. He would obfuscate and gaslight us. He would influence us to try to see ourselves above God, to question God's goodness and love for us, or to forget about what we are here for. He twists God's word. He corrupts that which God meant for good. And he uses good and beautiful things to tempt us toward evil. The devil often even uses godly language and principles, even quoting scripture, to influence us towards ungodly ends. So we need to understand the nature of temptation so that we can counter it in Christ. We need to understand how the world, the flesh, and the devil come against us with these temptations, have our eyes fully open to them. But I want to look quickly at how we are called to counter temptations. And I think the Lord Jesus gives us the model for this in our Matthew chapter 4 reading. Three things I want to look at quickly of how we counter temptations are by knowing God, knowing His Word, and knowing ourselves. First, we'll come against temptation when we know God. When we have a relationship with Him where we actually know Him and His heart and His character, where we trust that He is good, truly good, that He loves us and desires only the best for us, and that His commands are ever only for our good. By knowing Him, we can choose for Him as we face temptations. Secondly, is by knowing His Word, what He really did say. When the world, the flesh, or the devil comes to us and tries to convince us that God didn't really say what we thought He said, or He didn't really mean what He said, or you just need to understand the cultural context of that age, and we can push that aside because that's not the age we're in now. We who know the Word of God, who abide in the Word, can come against that temptation. The devil can quote Scripture better than you can, better than I can. So we need to not only know Scripture, but to know what it means, to know what it's for, to know what all of this is about. The world can quote Scripture at Christians, trying to convince us to get along with their agenda while completely missing the bigger point of Scripture's message and purpose. So we need to know the Word, because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, our weapon to combat the enemy and to fight temptations. So just as the Lord Jesus led us in example, we can always respond to temptation with the Word of God. That Jesus, every time the devil came to Him with a temptation, responded by quoting Scripture back at him. And not just quoting Scripture for the sake of quoting Scripture, but drawing out of it the purpose who God is and who he was. So to do this, we need to know the Word of God. We need to abide in the Word of God. Third is by knowing who we are, is how we push back against temptation. Knowing who we are, that we are the Lord's beloved. That we are sons and daughters of God, forgiven and reconciled by the blood of Christ. When we know with resolution who we are in Christ, we can recognize that the world, the flesh, and the devil don't get a say in telling us who we are. That they don't have the right to tell us who we are and what our identity is or what we're here for. We know that we belong to God in Christ, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when temptation comes, you can say, I am a beloved child of God. I don't need to listen to these lies. We also need to know ourselves by knowing our own weaknesses and limitations and our inclinations. If you know that alcohol is a problem to you, you probably shouldn't spend a lot of time in bars. Know yourself. Know where the devil is likely to strike at you. Know where the whispers of the world are likely to be influencing you. This looks different for each one of us. So we need to know ourselves, asking the Holy Spirit to teach us of ourselves, that we might cast ourselves upon his grace. And we know ourselves by remembering what we're here for, that we're here for the glory of God. We're not actually here for ourselves. We're not here for our own pleasures. We're not here for the world's agendas. We're here to love God and to enjoy him forever, to glorify him with all that we are. So I believe Jesus shows us that we can overcome temptation by knowing God, by knowing his word, and by knowing ourselves. But ultimately, we overcome temptation by looking to Jesus, our Savior. Hebrews 4:15 says that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has been tempted in every way as we are, yet did not give in. And so he knows, he understands every temptation that you experience. He knows it better than you do. Because the one who wrestled through temptation and overcame it is actually the one who feels the weight of temptation more. You and I don't know the full weight of temptation because we often give into it. And we give in before it has opportunity to go to its full weight. Jesus has felt the full weight of temptation. He knows it better than you and I do because he's overcome it. Jesus is not only our example, he is our Savior. He overcame sin for us. He succeeded where Adam failed for our sake. And it's through him that we have forgiveness of all of our sins, redemption from every time we fail and give in to temptation, and eternal life in the paradise of God. The Lord Jesus is the one who is mighty to save. And he invites us into the victory over sin that he has won for us. We know in this life we will have temptation because the world, the flesh, and the devil are dead set against us giving ourselves to the Lord and living for the glory of God, trying to undermine us in our Christian life at every single turn. We need to know that the devil is real and is constantly at war over your soul to pull you away from God. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. But the good news in Christ is that we do not resist the devil. We do not need to choose for God just on our own strength. You are not left alone. Jesus is with you, and you can call upon him in any given moment to be there as your Savior, with his Spirit as your helper. So these 40 days of Lent that are reflecting Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, They're given to us as a discipline of faith, a time to choose for the Lord, setting aside other things, denying ourselves some certain pleasures, in order that we might know with greater clarity who the Lord is, who we are, and what it is we are called to do. Temptation is always going to be a part of that process. And temptation is an opportunity for us to choose for God in love, to grow in love, and to enter deeper into the victory of Jesus over sin. So in this Lenten season, may we have a greater awareness of temptation in our own hearts and the courage to choose for the Lord in those moments that we might grow in His love. I'm going to close with our prayer for the day that we already prayed. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.